Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Daley.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jurgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jurgen. I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast wouldn't happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to join us, to become a socio, and to get every interview we produce without adverts and before it goes out on the main feed, plus lots of bonus content, including the chance to put questions to our guests and to me via the monthly Q&A. So do please go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter and join the club and get your family and friends to do so. Maybe even strangers in the street. Love you. Big Interview Icons series, where we shine a light on a legend whose name has lit up some of the conversations I've had with our guests over the years. This episode focuses on José Mourinho. Benny McCarthy's extremely tough time at Celta Vigo ended when José brought him to Porto. Benny saw the Portuguese as something of a father figure, and together they won the Champions League with Porto in 2004. Meanwhile, Line of Duty star Martin Compston was struck by Mourinho's will to win, even in a high-profile charity match. While the mighty Robert Huth remembers that when Mourinho arrived at Chelsea, he took training sessions to a completely new level. The special one introduced an intensity, plus an attention to detail, which fired players' imaginations. José Mourinho, icon. Now, you won't hear me saying that very often, so make the most of it. Porto in that stage weren't Champions League. When you went down, Mourinho was taking over because they were having, for them, the difficulties. Eh?
Yeah, they were having the worst season. I think they were six in the league, and a long time that Porto's been there. And then obviously, so I played in the cup match, which they won 4, and I scored 2, I think, on my debut, and one assist. So yeah, everybody was like, "Oh, great signing! Like now we've got a striker." And then the coach got the boot, and then he was at the door. And then the next day on training, I saw, "Hey, that's the guy that
it's came that to, guy
the like the young guy that spoke to me that convinced me to come to Porto." Meanwhile, he was that was going to be the coach, and he's like, "Oh, it's like I'm glad you took my advice and happy to have you here, you know." And I said, "Nah, with you in my team, what I want to do, I'm going to win everything." And I'm thinking to myself, is this guy on drugs? Or what is he? Because I couldn't even catch a game at Celta. And he's telling me that he's going to win everything because now he's the missing link in his puzzle. You know? I couldn't understand what he was on about. But anyway, I just said, okay, yeah, I'm glad. And I'm going to do my best for him, you know? And I think the thing that just made me switch, and I said, I'll run through a brick wall for this guy, was he did something that nobody in football has ever done. Like football manager-wise, coach never came and understood what you were going through, your pain or that. Everybody just thinks, oh, like you're getting paid big money, so you just get on with it.
You're just kind of like a servant. You're not a person.
Yeah, but people didn't understand. People didn't know what I was going through and the tough time that I had at Celta. And then came and said, hey, you okay? And, you know, I'm happy to be there. And he says, oh, if you need anything, you know, like, just ask if you want to come for dinner. My house is open. Wow. And he gave me a hug. Like, he hugged me and he says, ah, listen, he's here for me and what everything. And I felt like I wanted to cry, but I couldn't because the situation wasn't a suitable situation for me to cry now. And people's like, oh, yeah, the manager's son now. And look, that's why he's playing every week because you understand. So I kept it together, but when I went back and I was like, he's not just like a coach, he's a human being, like he cares, and he probably knows my shit that I was going through at Celta, and that's why he's the way he is, you know, like he was just very caring, and I think that was a nice touch because I've never had it.
Do you know, Benny, I don't know him so well, but he tells a story about how as a kid, his dad's a football coach. And the club his dad is working for sacks him, I think, on Christmas Eve or even Christmas Day. And, of course, that brings misery to the house, to the family, at a time of great joy. And the young Mourinho, according to Jose himself, as he retells it, says there and then, OK, this is how football is. I don't like this. And whether it's the same now, because all men change, they grow, they mutate. But at that point, the guy you're describing who, because many people listening might be surprised that a human touch is unusual in football. Now, maybe we know it is, but it's amazing how much small things can do, because friends who respect each other might do what you're talking about. How are you?
Yeah.
Can I help? Here's a good idea about what you might do now. So good people do that to each other all the time. But maybe not in football. And I remember when you first started telling me stories like this, you told me about him having a similar effect on the dressing room. Because the team talk about, if you do this, this is what will happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just try and bring that dressing room moment, because he gave the same feeling to your teammates as he gave to you. If you do what I say, then we'll qualify for this. And then, because I think he also... Mm-hmm. correctly predicted what you would win.
Yeah, no, 100%. So, yeah, and I think I paid off straight away because I played like a man possessed, you know, and I don't think, I was scoring goals before and that, but I was not playing at the level that I played for Jose, where I did anywhere else. You know, people's like, oh, and like, I was scoring, not just strikers' goals, like goals from never going into midfield, go and get the ball, pop, one little one touches, and hitting 40-yard shots from anywhere. Top corner, and like I was playing out of my skin. So I don't know if it was because I felt like, oh, I felt like now I finally found myself a home with a manager that understands me more like a father, or you know, so, or I have to just impress, or just the fact that he was the way he was and I had to repay him back. So that's why I was doing the things, but I was enjoying who I was. I had my smile back, I had my sweat, you know, I was in my element playing for him. And I think it was 13 goals in 10 games or 9 games that we played, and then we jumped from being 6 to literally just last game losing out on winning the league, because Benfica won the league and Porto finished second. from being nowhere near even going to be able to finish fourth. And then when Mourinho came, we won every single remaining 9 games left. And I bagged 13 goals, and I think I scored 2 hat-tricks in that. So it was...
And he'd said to you, didn't he, we'll win the league, which, and then next year we'll win the UEFA Cup if we don't win the league, and yes. Then we'll win the...
So then the fact that now Celta Vigo called me back, that was the sickening part, that they didn't want me, because now all of a sudden things are changing. Now they want me to come back to be a second choice striker, and I tried to fight them about it, but yeah, Porto couldn't pay the money that Celta wanted. Celta wanted 10 million euros, and now Porto was only willing to pay 7 million, and the two teams couldn't get to an agreement, and then I had to return. But he texts me every game. When Porto play, he texts me and says, I wish you were on my side now, but, you know, we're okay. We're going to be pushing. And next year, we're going to be pushed for Champions League. And I'm definitely coming to get you. Because with the money that the club's going to make from winning the Europa League and that, then it's got enough money. He just wants one signing, and I want you. You, my player.
Wow.
So he put a lot of confidence. And I think that sort of kept me going for that season that I went back to Celta. And, you know, I was training. I'm training at 150% level. Not for Celta. I'm going to Porto next season. So then, yeah, and then Mourinho phoned me and says, listen, Benny, done. We've got the money that Celta wants. So that's my priority. And I want you here and hope you're ready. And, you know. So I went.
Now, people know more about Carvalho, but... I'm going to ask you a question, because I've met him a few times. Like, he was a very... he was almost like an Italian defender, because with Carvalho, if he didn't win you, beat you through the football, there were no rules. He did anything to win. But he seems quite a quiet, timid guy when you speak to him, right or wrong?
A soft giant, you know? But I think his career was saved because he had a manager like Jose Mourinho. Because he understood his players, he got to know the players' personalities and that. And that's why wherever Jose went, he tried to get Carvalho, because he knows he's going to drown if he plays for another manager. The worst player that you could ever have in your team from Monday to Friday in trainings. Like the worst trainer ever.
Wow.
The worst trainer, Monday comes, Ricky, Ricardo, go home.
No
then
way.
He'll send him home. Not doing his job, but Mourinho knew. Come Saturday, he's playing. Man of the match, Ricardo Carvalho.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're nearly out. Sadly, before he died, the Prince phoned me and said, is it true that Martin Compson knows Greg, Gary Tank Commander, McHugh?
Yeah.
Gary's a bright,
leading man, writer, Greg, performer, Gary to everybody else, Greg to us. He's the kind of guy who might lead you astray.
I think we lead each other astray quite a lot. He's a great friend of mine. I say a very, very talented boy, you know, with Fresh Meat, and he's doing the A Word now and stuff. But yeah, we sort of coax each other on, you know. We've ended up in some heaps together.
Is there an example?
Well, one of the great things about this job is I got to play in the Socceraid thing at Old Trafford, which was just an unbelievable experience. I believe Kevin Bridges touched on it on his, you know, and me and Kevin had a great time, you know, sitting with Mourinho and stuff. And well, basically, I played a charity game, and I'd done my ligaments, and I had a keyhole on it, and I kind of thought that was it, and it took me out of work for 3 months. So my agents said, right, enough's enough, sort of, like, it's time to concentrate on your actual job. And then the call came through for Socceraid, and I hadn't even run or anything on it yet, and I was just thinking, maybe this isn't the right thing, but I says, I'll go down and I'll have a run, and if I can wait on it, I can't miss this opportunity, because they told me Mourinho was managing, you were going to be playing with Seedorf, Stam, Davids, Del Piero, Shevchenko. You know, it was an incredible lineup, Van der Sar. And I thought, I just need to kind of, just to be on a pitch with these people. And Mourinho was unbelievable. So we turned up on the night, and I had a run about with the physio that day. And he said, look, it's weak, but we can do stuff for you, and it'll be all right. We'll strap you up and all that kind of thing. So Mourinho comes down for the initial kind of dinner thing, and he had the dossier on every one of us. And he says, look, I know about your knee. He says, you're going to start at the weekend. Because the point was, we were to train Tuesday to Friday and play the game on Sunday. And you were sort of to play yourself into his plans. And he said, you're going to start. Don't train. Like, we need you. And a bit of me was like, you know, having been a footballer, I wanted to be on a training pitch with Mourinho and see the secrets and all that kind of thing. And so he kind of let me kind of pot about. He'd always kind of have me on and go, like, this is where you're going to be, front post, back post. He's so organised, it was unbelievable. Like, everybody knew where they had to be. And it was just mind-blowing to see this. And the first thing he said is, look, this is for charity. We're going to enjoy ourselves, but we're here to win. My teams don't lose. So we got the Tuesday, Wednesday, the Thursday. He'd let me have a little kick about it. He says, right, tomorrow, he says, I'm going to let you train on the Friday. So I was buzzing. So I was trying to get an early night. And then the phone goes and it's Greg. He says, look, you're going to come out. You want to come in town and meet me? I'm out with Paolo Nardini, who's another good friend. And he says, no, look, mate, I've been on the table all day, getting my massage and stuff. But says, the guy says, my knee's fine. I'm going to train tomorrow. And he said, look, just come out of town. And I'm like, no. I said, look, just come out of town. Hug up, phone goes again. He says, look, just come meet us for a beer. You're all right. I said, look, mate, we're on lockdown. I'm playing this game on Sunday. And he said, he says, look, just move. I went, no. Phone goes again, it's Paolo, and he says, if you don't come out tonight, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. And I went, look, you take the piss here, because I said, look, I really shouldn't be doing this, so do you mean that? And he says, just come down, you'll see what I mean. So I got out the back of the hotel and jumped a taxi. Now, all the England boys were already out, but I think they were about hanging, but Mourinho was kind of strict on us, rightly so, I think. And so I got a car into the Groucho where we're sitting now, meet Greg and Paolo for a drink. And he says, look, just follow me. We walk round the corner, just round the corner there, I think it's the back of the Hippodrome. I walk into this tiny wee booth and outstruts Prince. And proceeded to play for the next 5 hours or so, solid.
No.
It was unbelievable. Obviously, you know who Prince is and you know some of the songs and stuff, but I've never seen anything like it. And there must have been about 100 people in the place.
Whoa.
And then so I got on about 7 or 8 in the morning. Jose gave me the shout on the pitch, and I went, no, I think you're right, Jose. I'm back on the table.
We twins.
Felt my knee a bit heavy and I don't want to risk it for Sunday. So just sit and lay in the bed for the rest of the day again.
But did you tell him?
I told him after that. I told him on the Sunday night, but I didn't want to jeopardise, because I think I was supposed to start left mid. Michael Sheen broke his wrist and Michael was supposed to start right back, and he said, look, I'm going to need to move you right back. So, but I've got a great picture because of that, because he said, look, I'm going to move you right back, so Michael's going to start and then we'll put you on. He's going to change the banners, whatever, and then you go on. And I've got a great picture framed of me at Old Trafford with Jose telling me at the side of the pitch point where to go. And then he said to me, Ollie Murs was one, he said, just make sure, he says, that boy's a whippet, he said, just make sure he doesn't get on the ball or do anything. And as he ran by, Jose just ran on the pitch and nailed him. Just nailed him. And like, you've seen wee Murs rolling around looking up at me, and I'm mad at him. And then that set the tone for me, so I just nailed him the rest of the night. But it was, I mean, that kind of stuff was unbelievable. And to get a thing of being on the pitch with those players. And what I'll never forget is, maybe he's on, to say he's underrated isn't the right word, because he's won the European Cup with three different teams. But Seedorf controlled the tempo of that entire game. I mean, you've got world-class players around him, all legends. But he controlled that game. When he wanted to up it, the whole game up to him. When he wanted to slow it down, I think he scored three that night, actually. It was unbelievable.
He remains a really good athlete as well.
Yeah, he's a machine. Yeah, well, I mean, him and David were whipping the bodies out in the showers. Me and Kevin made ourselves quite scarce.
That's going to stay up there. Oh, top. Every young fella's dream.
I played Larson through the past. That's the stuff that stays with you, because that's the stuff I grew up watching. You know, I mean, I always loved acting. I always loved movies and stuff. But, you know, I didn't dream about winning Oscars. I dreamed about lifting the cup with Celtic.
I was 18, I think, when he came. For me, it was an absolute game changer, because I've gone through pre-seasons where you run the first 2 weeks, you don't see the ball, you're just trying to be as fit as you can, blah, blah, blah. You know, you would have heard all that nonsense. So when he came in, it was complete game changer. I was not... opened it all up, you know, a specific training, not wasting any time in training. The times when we didn't train, he said, if you don't want to train properly, just go in. We start again. And he wouldn't hold it against you. But his sort of belief was, when we train, I want you to get something out of it. And I need you to get something out of it, because the end goal is the Premier League, the win of the Premier League. So we can't waste time with shit training sessions or sort of bad attitude, or you're just going through the emotions. That wasn't allowed. But for the players at the time, I think players that were a little bit older than me, they got to the point where this is shit. There's got to be a better sort of method, preparation. And when he came in, I mean, their eyes just lit up. They went, "What? We, you know, they're really." And you could see for the first, you know, 3-4 years, they were miles ahead. You know, obviously it's difficult for me to say how other teams trained and prepared, but you know, just for defenders' point of view, like we got given sheets on the training seat with information about the players. Like, I love that. You know, that was like, well, that's the level of intensity and level of preparation you need to have success in sport. And Mourinho obviously took that to a new level. You know, with training, it was always time. There was no wasting. We had ball boys for training. And that was, what we know, 2004 it was. You know, normally when you do any sort of training, there was, you know, lots of time was wasted.
People take a breather. The ball's over there. Everybody goes, ah. Whereas if the ball's in play all the time, you're always thinking, you're always sharp. Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't time. There was no wasted time going from different exercises. The pitches were prepared. So you finish your possession training, and then the drinks were positioned, so on the way over to the other side of the pitch, you grab a drink and you sort of recover while you walk across to the different exercises. And that never happened in my sort of early part of professional playing. It was just like, well, let's hang about here for 5 minutes while the coaches set up another drill, and you lose the momentum, you lose the intensity. But yeah, I mean, yeah, he really opened it up, and he sort of made me realise. I mean, I was always hardworking anyway, but he made me realise what it really takes to be on it. And I'm glad I've got it when I was 18, because that sort of level of preparation I sort of took throughout my life, really, and still do to this day.
I think when you're near anybody in any professional arena that's got such intensity, preparation, has clearly thought about your role, other people's role, you watch it, and first of all, your respect meter goes up a little bit, you feel more engaged. But on a separate level, I don't think he's replicated this throughout his career, but you encountered a man there who was very messianic. He had something about his devilishness, his wit, the stuff that Duffer told us about flying back from, I don't know if you were on this flight, flying back from whatever, a game to win in Russia and qualifying through the group, and Mourinho saying to everybody, they were like, boss, who do you want? He went, Barcelona, I want Barcelona. He's like, yeah, we'll beat them. Draws Barcelona, knocks them out. Little things like that that you encounter on a daily basis. At that stage in his career, he was messianic. He kind of oozed cleverness and confidence and a sort of elan, he stood apart, not special ones, but he was a different kind of guy. Is that the guy you encountered and worked for?
Yeah, and I mean, as much as we give him credit for his methods, but he is very intelligent, you know, like when you lead a group of men, I can only talk for men because that's my game, but you know, it's you playing games. Like had he had said, "Oh, we want the shittiest team," the mindset of the team would have been different. So he, even if he doesn't believe it, you know, that they could beat Barcelona or they could beat Real Madrid. When you speak to the group or individuals, you just make it up, even if you don't believe it. And then next thing you hear, we can beat Barcelona. His attitude just goes for the group. And he wasn't allowed to have any sort of dull moments, or even when we lose, you know, it was always a fluke, you know, or the ref was shit, or, you know, it was always stuff. Well, we only lost not because of us, you know, it was a mindset, you know, the constantly driven and just confidence. The same with my children, when they're a bit down, you know, it's always a bit, just give them positivity, you know, believe in them when they a big exam for schools or something. It's very similar to that, and that's exactly what he did.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Back Page. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast, and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Here endeth the lesson.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.